Why are there ridges on Reese's peanut butter cups? Probably so they never slip from her hands. Could you imagine? I'd lose it. Luckily, Reese's thought about that. Wonder what else they think about. Probably chocolate and peanut butter.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
On News Talk.
Now, you're welcome back to The Hard Shoulder. The name is Emmett Oliver. You're very welcome along on a busy Wednesday afternoon and evening. Now, author Max Dickens was choosing a best man for his wedding a few years ago when he realised he had nobody to ask. He then learned he wasn't the only one struggling with male friendship. Since then, Max has been on a journey to find out why this is the case. He even turned at one stage to a Rent a Friend website. Author of Billy No Mates, How I Realised Men Have a Friendship Problem, the author Max Dickens joins me now on The Hard Shoulder. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. It's embarrassing that I've rented a friend and this is now part of my intro. This
I know. Well, I when we were planning the item earlier, we said Billy No Mates and somebody said, I thought we were doing the Boris Johnson slot later on, but I think we'll just get straight to it. Like, you're bearing your soul here in this new book. This is something, male friendship is not, apart from a few buddy movies that Hollywood produces, it's not something that's widely discussed. Most men just bond over the latest football match, in my experience. That's their own unique form of bonding. But let me just go back to the start of the story. When did you find out you didn't have a best man ready to go?
Well, I literally was in a shop buying an engagement ring. And then we went to the pub afterwards with somebody who was helping me, a female friend, helping me buy the ring. And she said, who's your best man going to be? And I sort of stumbled on the question, went home, made a list. And everyone on the list was people I worked with. And the rest of them were people I hadn't seen for 2-3 years. And I just thought, how has this happened to me? Where have all my male friends gone? Because in my 20s, I had tons. I was now 33 and they'd all disappeared. And when I looked into it, tons of other men were in the same position.
Now, was this your fault, as in you didn't husband these resources properly? You didn't keep in contact? You didn't work on the various friendships? Or did it just sort of almost take you by surprise?
It took me by surprise because I was always busy. And I think a lot of men have a similar experience. Like, you know, during the week, we're seeing our workmates. Maybe we're hanging out with our wife or our girlfriend's mates. And we get to the weekend and maybe we've got no guys to hang out with. So I didn't look like what loneliness looks like. And then when I realized my friends have gone, yeah, I had to look at myself. And really, when I dug into it, there's probably three main reasons why men struggle with friendship and why I struggle with it.
And they are. Well, don't leave us hanging.
Well, the first one is that we have all sorts of weird rules as guys with friendship, right? So the first thing we love when we're with the guys is banter or the crack, right? And that's great fun. But it often means we don't get to talk about the bigger stuff, the deeper stuff, the real stuff. We also don't like to be the one doing the organizing. We don't like to look needy. So we tend to leave it to the other guy who looks back at us and nothing happens. And we don't tell our friends we like each other, right? We just kind of assume it. And that kind of way of doing male friendship means that we have lots of mates, football mates, pub mates, work mates, but maybe we don't have those closer friendships. But the big thing I realized away from that was I spoke to some really interesting evolutionary anthropologists, which sounds quite boring.
As one does,
they said
yeah.
To me, well, hopefully this won't be. They said to me, Max, male friendships are very different to female friendships. And if you're going to have them and make them work, you've got to understand it. So here's the difference. Female friendships tend to be face-to-face, based around talk and emotional disclosure. I think we can recognize that from real life. Whereas male friendships are all about shoulder-to-shoulder, side-by-side, sharing activities. And when you get older, what happens? Those activities, doing stuff with the guys, tends to drift off. So if you want to have better friendships, you've got to rebuild those spaces. You've got to get back those structures, those routines in your life.
Yeah, and I mean, I presume it's the same in the UK. Like, I'm pretty certain it is. But a lot of male friendships revolve around alcohol. It's I will meet you for a pint. I will meet you for a drink. It doesn't tend to be, I'll meet you for tea, I'll meet you for coffee, right? That's kind of been the start. Do you think that's a relevance to this issue, that there's the role of alcohol in the middle of all of this?
Yeah, massively. And when I've spoken to guys, as I've been writing this book, loads of people said the same thing. Like, when your mate asks you what, you know, to meet up, they'll say, do you fancy having a pint? Whereas female friends be like, do you want to have a coffee? Do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to do whatever? Whereas if a guy said to me, hey, do you want to go out for dinner? I'd be like, oh, bit weird. Okay, maybe. And I think the context is kind of relevant because the sort of conversations you have is going to be affected by that. If you're always in the pub, if you've got the big screen with the football on or whatever, it is going to affect how you interact with each other. And look, I'm not saying that side of things isn't loads of fun and it's really important, but we've got to be able to do the other stuff as well. And a lot of it is about meeting in different places, like you say.
Like, is you know, we're a bit undemanding in conversational terms. I mean, I know female acquaintances of mine who've heard whole male conversations and gone, that's it. Like, that's your friendship is talking about Liverpool, Manchester United, whatever it is. But I think in a strange way, men, it means more. There's layers in there that aren't obvious. It seems like a very workaday, prosaic conversation, but it's our own form of communication. Would you agree?
Absolutely. So a lot of people, when they think of close friendships, they just think of it's about talking about your feelings. But with guys, it's a bit different. Exactly what you say. It's for example, banter is for me where I'm taking the mickey out of my friends, and it can sound and look quite cruel and a bit trivial and silly. But actually, what's going on there is something really special. It's going, I know that we're playing a game, we have permission, and I only do this because we're really comfortable with each other. And sometimes I think men define friendship in terms of comfort and in terms of reliability. And you can feel like a friend is really close without necessarily knowing everything about them. And that's probably one of the joys of male friendship. But on the flip side, I'd say, Emmett, can we go into the fourth and fifth gear on the gear stick? Sometimes in our life, at some points, we might need to go there. And you think about those points in your life which are the hardest. That's when you really need friends.
Yeah.
And I reflected on, like, am I able to have those sorts of conversations?
Yeah, what I find fascinating about your book is even the title, Billy No Mates, you seem to indicate that people just were kind of a bit squeamish about even the title. It was kind of like, well, you shouldn't be saying this or using it as a title. So we seem ultra sensitive about this subject.
Yeah, we really do. I did wonder, like, will people ever read the book on public transport? It's called Billy No Mates. It's like a big flashing light saying you've got no friends. I think guys especially are a bit weirded out about talking about the fact they struggle here. And I think we've come on miles as guys. We're quite happy now talking about our physical health, our mental health sometimes, but our social health, I think, is the next big step we can take. Because there's nothing embarrassing about losing your mates. I mean, if I'd ask listeners, like, think about your dad. How many friends does he have? How many friends does your husband, your brother have? Like, it's a really normal thing for guys. And the first step, if you want to change it, is to just admit it. And then you can get on the front foot and be a bit more deliberate about it.
Now, this whole business of a website called Rent a Friend, like, is this real? And did you actually use that?
I absolutely did. I should say I've got no endorsement with Rent-A-Friends. I'm not trying to promote them. But it's a real thing. If you go on rentafriend.com, you can basically pay someone to hang out with you by the hour. And you suggest an activity and they come along. And it's absolutely bonkers, but you can do it. And now, I wouldn't recommend
expensive?
Doing it.
Is it expensive? Is. You
know, I think the person I rented was about £20 an hour.
And what was he what was he like?
Not worth £20 an hour, put it that way. Do you know what the good side of it is? You get to do whatever you want. So there are some perks. It's just mad. And I think it's a sign of how hard it is these days in the modern world.
Listen, I'm thinking of renting someone who just has to listen to me talk about my favorite football team for hour after hour. Other people are having to fill that gap at the moment. I could find someone to do it. Let me bring the conversation towards an end. How did you square the circle of the best man for the wedding, by the way? You've intrigued me about how you solved that particular problem. Or did you just dig up one of your old schoolmates and repurpose them for this big occasion?
Well, I got in touch with all these friends I'd neglected, and I spent a year getting to know them much better, getting things back to how they were in our 20s and early 30s. And then I had a huge choice of male friends. But there is a twist in the tale, because I ended up having two best women, not because I don't love guys, but because I thought in that moment they were probably my best friends. But the kind of the happy ending of it was, I don't think you need to have a man in that role, but I had way more male friends and it made a huge difference to my life.
I suppose the intriguing bit is the school friends that you get them when you're five or six or whatever. What becomes of them? We just drift apart. Obviously school yokes people together who may not necessarily get on. You're just put into a classroom by your parents and off you go. I mean, do you have any sense of where your school friends went or where guys' school friends generally go? They just drift on, or what happens?
Well, that's
that
one of the mad things about things like Facebook is all these people you went to college or school with, you see them and you're like, oh my goodness, they've changed so much. And they kind of stay with you, even though you don't really know them anymore. I think the key thing with a friendship is you've got to have things in common and you've got to have a sense that you're moving in the same direction. So it's not bad to let go of some of those old friends. I think sometimes we can have friends but feel they're not satisfying because they're stuck in our past. And when we're with them, it doesn't feel fresh. It doesn't feel authentic. So I think it's part of having a great social life and getting better friendships is being able to let go of some of those people and find some new ones.
Yeah, you've mentioned work friends. I mean, the problem with work friends is it is work friends, right? So when someone moves jobs, so the person you were very friendly with goes to another company, they might move country, maybe they change role, or they become your boss or you become their boss. It's so relating to the work situation, which is dynamic, that kind of can, it's very hard to keep that in one place. It just kind of moves from year to year and they get moved to another team. You know, the company downsizes. It's not the most stable form of friendship, the work one.
No, it's not. And I think that's often shown, like when you bump into someone from work outside of work, like in the pub or in a supermarket, and it's all a bit awkward and weird because outside of that context, you don't really know what to say to each other. I think some work friendships can be great, but like you say, they often don't move with us when we move away. And I'd ask, when you kind of reflect on your life, who are your best friends? They're very rarely the people you work with. And that doesn't mean that your workmates aren't great fun to be with and really valuable in that moment. But I suppose what I learned, and I think what men probably struggle with the most, is those enduring friendships. So things that are closer bonds. Who are those three or four men in your life that can come with you through that longer journey and be with you when it really matters?
Well, I'm really glad your wedding went ahead. I'm glad you found somebody, even if it wasn't a male friend. You got two people in there, so well done. And I think we've got a lot of reaction, people saying it's great to hear you actually reflecting on this very neglected subject. But for the moment, Max Dickens, author of Billy No Mates, How I Realised Men Have a Friendship Problem. That book is out there on various sellers, who I'm not going to plug right now. We're getting some texts. Couldn't agree more with this guest, and fair play to him for admitting it. I have about one or two friends. I'm in my 40s and work has consumed my life since my mid-20s, which sounds kind of a lonely, plaintive kind of text there. I've also got another one saying, spot on with this guy. I've lost touch with my friends, mainly use my brother now. I'm not sure the word use is good there, but I think you mean something else. I think you really have to make a decent effort. Now, coming up next, it's been a record year so far for foreign direct investment in Ireland.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.